going down for real.
Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Happy Friday, everybody. Nathan Zagura live from Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine, joined by Jason Gibbs as Matt Wilhelm still cruising the high seas out there on the Buckeye Cruise. Gibbs, how you doing today?
I'm good, Friday? Buddy. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a very good time here at the Combine today. The first real on-field drills happening. The offensive line, the defensive line, the tight ends getting out there, going through their paces. So that has certainly been exciting to see. Some impressive performances. I'd say this morning, Lael Collins turned in probably the most impressive performance of any of the offensive linemen in the Combine drills. The tight ends will be running soon. We had some defensive linemen get weighed in. Randy Gregory, a name that I know somebody that the Browns would like as an edge rusher, checking in, not weighing a ton, just over 230, drawing comparisons to Barkevious Mingo already, and was actually at the beginning of his workout phase, they said at 218 pounds, was able to bulk up there. So lots coming out tomorrow. Obviously, the big day is the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the wide receivers get out there. I think that's when it's going to get very interesting here at the Combine in terms of the skill position, as many people obviously linking the Browns to wide receivers. It's a huge position of need. They need to get those playmakers. Defensive linemen also right now going through the interview process. They're going to get out there on the field as well today, and I think those are that's a position that people need to keep an eye on, need to take a look at, as the Browns, many think, will address the defensive line in this draft. We have a loaded show for you here today in terms of talking to national media members at the Combine, and we're going to hear from Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. We are going to hear from Adam Kaplan from ESPN's NFL Insiders, and then, of course, we are also going to hear from The Kid today. We are going to hear from you today. We are going to hear live on set from Dane Brugler. Dane Brugler, who, of course, is the CBS draft expert. He will join us around 1:30 p.m., and we're also going to hear from Peter Schrager from Fox Sports. So lots of national people here, national media, giving their opinion on the Browns, what the Browns should do in this draft class. So we're going to have lots of good sound for you on that. The quarterback spoke yesterday, so we'll hear from Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. And really want to hear a lot from you guys, what you want to talk about this Browns team, about this draft. But I can tell you the buzz here certainly centered around the Browns getting playmakers and getting help on the defensive line. That's what everybody is talking about. And I would just ask you, Gibbs, do you agree when you look, let's take quarterback out of it, because I don't know that the solution for the Browns at quarterback is here in Indianapolis, that D-line and wide receiver are far and away the two biggest positions of need.
Wide receiver is tops on my list after quarterback. You got to get someone that can make some plays downfield. That's kind of been the theme all week when we've talked. Defensive line, I agree with, but I also think just as important as offensive line. I think...
What do you think we need on the offensive line?
I think that right side is not as strong as I'd like it to be. About that? I think the right tackle, right guard, no offense. I like Mitchell Schwartz. I like John Greco. They're good guys. I think they're good players. But it is clear that one side of the line is much better than the other side of the line, in my opinion. And I think you got to address that, and you've got to build up that offensive line. You've got to put some depth on that offensive line.
So you want to go on the offensive line as well. Lyle Collins has strong showing, and the O-linemen doing their work today. And I think there are a lot of offensive linemen in this draft. So if you were the Browns, you're saying if you had the first three picks, take the first two in the first round and the first pick of the second round, you'd want to have an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, and a wide receiver if it was on you?
Yes, definitely.
What don't you like about Mitchell Schwartz? I know he gets beaten at times, but I think overall Mitchell Schwartz is better than people actually give him credit for.
Again, I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm not saying he's bad. But what I am saying is I don't buy into him consistently being that aggressive, great right tackle. We've got Joe Thomas at left tackle, and maybe that's why, because Joe Thomas is so good. And I'm not saying you need a Joe Thomas on the right side. It would be fantastic. But I just feel like at times when we ran to the right side, we ran into a lot of problems. And then when you take out Mac, then you ran into a lot of issues on that right side of the line. And I think you got to get someone offensive line-wise in. It's probably third behind defensive linemen and wide receiver, but it's right up there. And I would tell you this, at 19, if I have an offensive lineman rated ahead of a defensive lineman, I'm going O-line.
Well, what would you say about this? Michael Bowie, who Kevin Jones just wrote an article about in the Dog Pound Journal at ClevelandBrowns.com. Michael Bowie in 2013, when he was playing for the Seattle Seahawks, started 8 games for them that year and was graded by Pro Football Focus as the number 12 run-blocking tackle in all of football. So he is somebody that the Browns brought in, a great move by Ray Farmer, kind of slid under the radar. I know it angered the Seahawks. He's somebody that could come in and compete with Mitchell Schwartz, and it's almost like getting that draft pick. He was a seventh-round pick in 2013. That rookie season played very well, and, in fact, if you do his grades, because Pro Football Focus does their grades based on positive plays, so the fact that he was where he was on a limited number of snaps compared to everybody else graded around him means that he was arguably, you could make the case, one of the most efficient run blockers in all of football to tackle position last week. As the offensive line coach, speaking of the O-line, Andy Moeller stops walking through the halls. How you doing, coach? Good? Good. Said it was a great group of offensive linemen out there having a lot of fun out there at the combat. It's colder at home.
It's ridiculous at home.
Yes. All right, take care. Browns offensive line coach, Andy Moeller. Fine man. He and George DeLeon, a fine tandem.
New assistant, Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy there with Andy Moeller, the new offensive line coach, the assistant offensive line coach as well. So, good group out there. Liked what he saw. They've wrapped up their workout down there. So, but let's go back to Michael Bowie for a second.
But why did Seattle even leave him vulnerable to get picked up?
Because I think it's one of those things they were trying to get him through injured, because he was injured. It wasn't going to play this year. So they're trying to sneak him through. And it was one of those things where they didn't think anybody would do what the Browns did. And they were I don't know if it's an unwritten rule per se, but I know that they were not happy about it. They were not happy that the Browns now have Michael Bowie. So it's basically like bringing in a guy that was drafted 2 years ago, has started in the NFL already, started for a team that, oh, by the way, won the Super Bowl the year that he was starting, and is a great run blocker. So if his shoulder surgery goes well and he can be healthy, he's somebody I think that is kind of that draft pick on the offensive line for you.
Yeah, but here's the problem about that. Okay, he started the year they won the Super Bowl. Who's the guy that we just cut?
Paul McQuiston.
Yeah, he had a big role on that O-line, too, until the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, but you're talking about an aged veteran versus a young a guy who will be entering his third year in the NFL. I mean, those are two different body types, two
but
different skill sets.
The guy hasn't played for a year. Can you rely on someone that hasn't played in a year?
My point is, you're talking about drafting somebody who's never played in the NFL. This guy actually has played in the NFL and played at a high level, at least as a run blocker on that Seattle team. So to me, it's the same as you have a guy that's a draft pick basically coming in, but he also happens to have NFL experience. So I'm just saying, in terms of the depth, he's somebody that you're not factoring in from last year's O-line that's going to be a factor this year if he's able to come back from that shoulder injury.
All right, so on Twitter, Xavier Galindez just tweets at us. He says, any chance we draft an exceptional left tackle and slide Joe Thomas to right tackle to prolong his career and fill a need?
I would think if that was going to happen, it might happen in another season or so. I don't know that this is the year that you draft that guy. And let's not forget, Joel Bitonio is a tackle. Joel Bitonio has an opportunity to maybe play at tackle in the NFL, but right now he's playing as an all-pro level guard, in my opinion.
I just, you know, maybe that's an option too. And maybe it's taking offensive lineman later in the draft, which I definitely – you know, I feel like you've got to come away with at least 2 linemen in this draft that are going to be impact players and help out and be part of your rotation next season.
I'm curious to see what we've gotten Vincent Painter. To me, if I was going to upgrade someplace, I think what's clear to me is that the backup center needs to be upgraded more so than, per se, the backup guard or a backup tackle. I think the fact that the offense nosedived with 3 different guys getting opportunities at center after Alex Mack went down means that that's a bigger concern to me. And that's something that you can get later in the draft as well.
Or do you address that in free agency?
You could, but again, I think that's something that could be addressed. I think you're bringing in Michael Bowie. So to me, that's your tackle. And if he's that good of a run blocker, perhaps he's a guy who could also swing in and play a little bit of guard for you. So I'm interested to see the impact he has. I know the coaches are excited about him. I know that the personnel department is excited about him. And I think that that is the pick that's come in. And you've already seen him play at the NFL level, so you know that he can do that.
I'm in. I don't even know. Right along with those lines of those 3 positions, I think the other position you've got to look at and you've got to get some depth is at linebacker.
Well, Well, it's, depending on what happens with Jabal Sheard, you're going to need to add somebody on the out. If Jabal Sheard doesn't come back, you need to add somebody on the outside. There are some who think that he's a better fit as just going back to being a traditional 4-3 defensive end where he had his most success with the Cleveland Browns. So I think that you're going to need some depth there. You need to get another guy, I think, on the inside as well to prepare for the day that Carlos Dansby moves on. I think you could look in the later rounds at a safety to prepare for the day, obviously, that Dante Whitner moves on. So there, I think as the draft goes on, there are depth issues that you can address on the defensive side at backer and, of course, at in the defensive backfield at the safety position. So to me, though, getting playmakers is what's yes. important for this team. We need to have multiple paths to victory. Right now, the Browns have one path to victory. They play lights-out defense. They run the football effectively. Hopefully hit connect with a couple of plays, throwing the ball, and then that's how they win.
And
it would be great to be able to come out and win games offensively or win games defensively.
Well, but that's why I think that the Browns are going to make offensive line a bigger priority than maybe we all think. If Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer have said, we want to run the football, we're going to run the football, we're going to run the football. Well, you got to be able to run the football behind a good offensive line.
I think we have a good offensive line.
I think we have a good offensive line. I think the left side of that line is fantastic. Arguably, those three, Mack, Bitonio, and Thomas, probably the best three. You could make the argument best three in the league, but that right side has to improve. The play has to improve on that side.
So you wonder, I mean, it's interesting when you think about it, and I'd be curious to get, you know, coach's perspective on this. Why wouldn't you put Greco between, you know, Mack and Thomas, because he's going to be better by being between them, and then Bitonio by being on the right side would enhance that side. So it would make everything better as opposed to, in your sense, you feel that it's unbalanced to the left versus the right.
Yes, I do. And, you know, maybe the numbers don't
Well, the right side's supposed to be your power side. And listen, perhaps Michael Bowie goes in there. I think Mitchell Schwartz gets a little bit of a bad rep. I'm more of a Mitchell Schwartz fan than I think a lot of people out there. I think he certainly is a solid, capable tackle. I think he's one of the top 30, you know, top right tackles in the game. So I'm not against Mitchell Schwartz. I think he certainly deserves to be a starter in the National Football
League. And I will agree that he has taken his fair share of ribbing and not deserved as much as maybe he's gotten. I'm not saying him and Greco are playing bad. I'm just saying the play, I think, has to be better on that right side.
And you're also, like, to be fair, you're also comparing it, as you well said, to what you think could very well be the best center, left guard, left tackle grouping in the National Football League, period.
I would agree with that, too.
So it's going to be tough for the right side to match up with that. So we've been at the Combine. We've talked to a lot of national media members about what the Browns should do here in this draft, what their offseason has been like, the direction of this organization. And we will hear from those people today. Again, Daniel Jeremiah, we'll hear from him at 1:15. Adam Kaplan from ESPN at 1:45. Peter Schrager from Fox Sports at 2:15. We've got The Kid coming on for the Friday forecast at 2:30. And we will have live here from the Combine, Dane Brugler, CBS draft expert. He will be with us at 1:30 p.m. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Got to give a shout out to two members of the Browns family traveling back from Youngstown right now, where they were doing some radio and TV deals. Our own Kevin Griffin and Kayla Lockhart. Hopefully safe travels out there in the cold.
Oh, enjoy that drive. Are they driving?
And they are driving. Oh. They're on their way back, yes.
Yeah, that's, enjoy that drive. It's miserable.
Well, at least they're in a car. I mean, they're not walking. They're not traversing. And they have the smooth sounds of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, to keep them company and keep them warm on their drive back to Berea.
Yeah, enjoy that drive.
All right.
So miserable. That highway alone, I think, is that 70 all the way across or 72?
Gibbs, the fact of the matter is they're making the drive. So why make it sound worse? They're experiencing it. They're living it. Don't be wah-wah.
I'm going to be wah-wah. I hate that drive. I always flew when I lived in Illinois.
Gibbs, great news for you.
Yeah.
You're not making the drive.
Thank God. I'm here in the studio's like a sauna today. It's about 85 degrees in here. I think we've overcompensated for the cold weather.
Well, it is cold here in the concourse in Indy, and that's where we are live from the NFL Scouting Combine, and we will hear from the NFL Network's draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.